Chapter 12 is where we'll be looking, and we're continuing our study of, we're kind of looking at the history of prayer through the Bible, people of prayer, and we looked at Enoch last week, and what we want to look at tonight is we know him as Abraham, but his name originally was Abram, and it's going to take several weeks to go through everything because there's a lot that's said about Abraham, and we want to learn about that. We understand something's very significant with Abraham, that he was called the friend of God, that God referred to him as Abraham, my friend. In Isaiah 41, verse 8, that he had a relationship with the Lord, that it was a closeness, and it's something that we desire. Just like with Enoch, that he walked with God, that it was a closeness to that. And so we want to learn from that, and so that we too may become the friends of God. We may have a close relationship in the same way. And so we see with Abram that he grew up in Ur of the Chaldees, a place that had many different false gods that they worshipped, but God called him out. And so we see this in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make thee a great nation, I'll bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land under the place of Sychem, under the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and High on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And so we see with this, that with the relationship that they had, that God was the one that initiated things, that he called out to Abraham, he drew him unto himself, that he said, "I have a plan, I have a purpose for you. I want you to step away from everything that you know, everything that you're comfortable with, everything that you have security in, and I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make your name great, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." And we see that God initiates, he communes with Abraham, and he promises blessing upon him. And we understand that when we have a relationship with God, that we didn't take the first step, that he drew us, that he initiated it. We had broken the relationship through our sin, from Adam, he runs a whole race under the curse of sin, and of course each of us are sinners by birth and choice. And so we broke the relationship with God, but yet he initiated, he provided a way of salvation for every man, sending his son so that anyone who believes upon him can be saved. And that's the idea, that in a sense God calls men all over the world. He calls them to something different. He calls them out from what they've known into new life in Christ Jesus. He gives them a new purpose, a new focus, and that they're called to a walk of faith, that he promises blessings. They may not see it in the immediate future. They may not even see it to eternity, but yet he promises it, and they need to walk in faith and expecting to receive those promises in time. And we realize as the Lord speaks to us, there's so much that he wants to give us, so much in his salvation that he wants to bestow upon us, that we understand that the Holy Spirit is but the earnest of our inheritance, just the down payment of what we are to receive in Christ Jesus. And so there is much that he wants to share with us, much that he wants to give to us. And so when we think about in having a relationship with God, we're thinking about prayer. I think so often our focus is, well, we have much that we want to talk to God about, much that we want to tell him, much that we have all these needs, and we want to put them before him so that he can answer them. But we want to understand that when we have a relationship, if we're going to be a friend with God, that it's a two-way street, that sure, we're going to talk with him, but he needs to talk with us. There's things that he needs to say to us. And he speaks through his word. He makes it clear to us as we study his word, as we seek his will. He opens up our understanding to his word and to what he wants for us to do. And so that's our thought, that we, as we pray that we're trying to draw ourselves close to the Lord, that it isn't just that we have a grocery list that we want to pass on to him, that we want to speak with him, and we want to find out what he wants to share with us, because there are many things that he does want to share with us. And we see verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And we see that if we're to have a relationship with the Lord, if we're to continue to draw close to him, that we need to obey him, that he's going to lead us in a certain way, and we need to follow him. We sometimes have the idea that we spend our time with the Lord in the morning, and we're with him, and then we have to go and start our day, and we kind of leave him behind, and we wish that we could take him with us, kind of thing, to help us through everything that we go through. But in actuality, if we understand that he wants to speak to us, he wants to give us direction, he wants to guide us, and he's stepping forward and he wants us to follow him each day, that he wants to guide us, show us what to do, show us how to act, give us grace and purpose. And so that's what we need to do. As we seek him, as we allow him to speak to us through his word, he's going to direct us, and we need to follow that direction. We understand that if we don't, can two walk together except they be agreed? If it's just as a parent with a child, if the child wants to go this way but the parent wants to go that way, there's not going to be that closeness. There's going to be a big fight of pulling back and forth. But instead, and we understand that God is our Father and we are the child, that instead of trying to pull away, that we surrender and we allow him to lead us. And because you can just imagine if Abram would have said, no, I'm not going to do that, what blessings he would have missed out on. And so we see verse 7, God speaks to him again. He gets into the land. He's done right. He gives him more direction. And we understand that when we're seeking the will of God, that he's not going to give us more light if we reject the light that he's already given us. That if he tells us to go somewhere and we don't do it, and then we wonder, well, where is God? Why don't I have any direction? Well, we do have direction. You just haven't followed it yet. And so you need to obey him, and then he gives you more light. And we see that, what happened with him, that he went into the land, as the Lord said, and he says, well, I'm going to give this land unto you. And so he built an altar unto the Lord and appeared unto him. Then we see the end of verse 8 where he journeyed a bit further, he built an altar, and he called upon the name of the Lord. That we see this is in the other times that God has been speaking to Abraham, and now Abraham is speaking unto the Lord. That you see how the relationship is built, that the positions have been established, that God is the one in charge, God is the one in command, he's in authority. Abraham's going to do what he asks him to do, and God blesses him. And that's the thought, that God says, I want you to do this, there's going to be blessings, they may not be in the immediate future, you may not grasp hold of them until eternity, but you need to trust me and do what I ask you to do. And then if we obey him, then we're blessed, we're given further direction, and that's when we're really able to develop a relationship with the Lord, an understanding of who he is, that it's our prayers actually, that we're relating to a real person. It's just not some far-off concept of God in our mind, that we just, our prayers are just kind of forgive me and gimme, and that's all that they amount to. And so we see that he was doing right, but then something happened. There was a famine in the land. There was a crisis. The Lord had brought him into this land, and suddenly there seemed that there was no food in this land. And you wonder, well, did God make a mistake? Did God lead him to the wrong place? We understand, no, he didn't. And we understand as well that if the Lord had brought him to this place, he was going to provide for him one way or the other, even if it was turning the stones into bread, even if it was having the ravens bring him meat, that he did it many different times before. But Abraham, we see, and through the rest of chapter 12, there's not really any mention of him calling upon the Lord until we get to Genesis 13 and verse 3, where it says, "Until the place the altar which he made there at the first, and there Abram called in the name of the Lord." And so what happened is that the situation happened, essentially a test to his faith, and he didn't know what to do. He heard there's food in Egypt, so he went down to Egypt. But then we see that he's full of fear, that he's afraid, well, my wife is really pretty, and the Egyptians will want to take her as their wife, and so they'll kill himself, or they'll kill Abraham in order to get Sarah. And so he hatches this plan, where he says, well, just say that you're my sister, and then they'll leave me alone.
How did he think that would make a difference?
I don't know. It's one of those things when we get into wrong thinking, it doesn't make sense to anyone but ourselves, but he was assured that this was going to work out for him, because of course we understand that, like, if they did, when we see that he was going to, Pharaoh, I think, was going to try to take her as his wife, and then the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of it. That we see that the Lord intervened. The Lord basically essentially Abram, because of his lack of faith, had kind of departed from where the Lord wanted to be, kind of got out of the closeness with God. And he got himself into a real pickle. And we see that the Lord was merciful to him, that the Lord stepped in. He plagued Pharaoh in his house. Because with the whole thing, that if Sarah was taken by Pharaoh, then how would Abram be able to have a son through her? So the Lord stepped in. The Lord was merciful to Abraham. And that's something that we recognize, that we can make a lot of mistakes. We can do things that are very foolish and get off track. But the Lord isn't there just to squish us. He's graceful to us. He'll chasten us, sometimes very sore because we're stubborn, but we realize that it's because He loves us. He's trying to get us back where He wants us to be. And so we see that Abraham, it says in chapter 13, verse 1, Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and with them into the south. Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold, and he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, and the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And so we see that he had done wrong, he knew that he had, and so what did he do? He went back to where he had gotten off track so that he could get back on track again. And that's where it begins, that he got back to where he started, back to where he had departed from the path with the Lord, and then he called upon the name of the Lord. And we understand that the Lord is merciful, that when we call unto Him in our distresses, that He's going to hear us. He's not going to abandon us. We see Psalm 145 and verse 18. It says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth." And so we see that he made a mistake, but yet he got back on track. And that's the idea, that with anything, with any relationship we have with anyone, if we make a mistake, we apologize, we start doing right again, we try to fix. If we've done something wrong, we try to make it right as best as we can. And then we, as much as possible, we return to the relationship that we had before. And that's the thing with the Lord, is when we fail, He's merciful, He forgives us, and He doesn't hold it against us. He doesn't bear a grudge. He's said, "I've forgiven you, it's forgotten, and let's continue." And so we see with that, and we find that this isn't the only mistake Abram will make. He'll make several others, some much worse than this. But yet, he's still the friend of God. God still loved him. God still wanted that relationship with him. And so, sometimes we look at this, we can make application in our own lives. If God wants to speak to us, there's much that He wants to show us. Promises of blessing to our lives, and He wants us to speak to Him, to call upon His name, that we would have that desire, that we realize our need. We take in what He's given, we follow it in obedience, and as we do that, then we return it, that we speak with Him, we commune with Him, and that's, we'll see with Abraham, that he continued with the Lord. He had some different questions, things that he didn't understand, and the Lord helped him to understand it, or the Lord helped him to have faith for just a little bit longer. But we want to see that when we have a relationship with the Lord, when we call upon the name of the Lord, it needs to be something that's done continually. And it's not just in the good times, but especially when we run into trouble. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." That in everything we do, every step we make, every decision we take, that we commune with God, we find, what is Your will in this? Should I stay? Should I go? Should I speak? Should I be silent? There's all these things that we need to have that dependency upon the Lord, that when trouble comes, we don't panic. Because when we do that, we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. That we draw close to Him, we call upon Him, we find out what He wants us to do, and we obey. And then when we do get out of touch with God, and that will happen probably many times even in a single day, but what we need to do is get back to where we got off track. It says in 1 John 1 that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That we're forgiven, fellowship is restored, and we can continue to foster that relationship. And so, as we continue this study of Abraham, may the Lord help us that we would learn from his life, this man who was called the friend of God, so that we too could have that close relationship with the Lord that he desires to have with us.